Indeed it does, and we welcome you in, and thank you for being here with us. This is The Lowdown. That is the dancing one, Jason Ross. I am Damian Barling. If you miss any part of today's show, subscribe to The Lowdown Podcast on iTunes, or if you're worried about missing any part of this final hour, download the all-new radio.com app there to your smartphone, and you can listen to us anywhere. Better yet, subscribe to The Lowdown Podcast on iTunes, and you can listen to us at your leisure. If you'd like, you can listen to us a couple of times a day. If you're a soccer fan, you might want to relive that 12 o'clock. Well, actually,
if you're a fan?
Yeah, you're probably not going to want to relive that 12 o'clock hour, but we had a great discussion about the state of not just U.S. men's soccer. They were obviously eliminated from World Cup contention last night, but the problems with soccer as a sport in general and how difficult it is to get kids in this country involved in it, and you know, whether we were talking about expenses or just the various different things, it was really a fantastic conversation in which a lot of people, both on the phone lines and on the text line, participated in. But I know there are a lot of really upset soccer fans today with the state of U.S. men's soccer and the fact that when the World Cup rolls around the summer of next year, the U.S. isn't going to be involved.
Nope, and I think that's, you know, there is a portion of fan base, of soccer's fan base, like Chris, that's going to watch regardless, but there's also people that are just supporting USA.
You're not getting the casual sports fan. Yeah. And I know Fox is trying to put the positive spin on it, and I know there are a lot of soccer fans like Chris who are going to watch it, but I know that the casual sports fan, like, I could tell you right now, I'm not going to. And I can't envision what storyline next summer would make me feel like, okay, I have to sit down and watch this soccer game for the sake of our radio show because the U.S. isn't involved.
Mm-hmm.
So what person, you know, what casual sports fan, and I'm not talking about the, you know, the small portion of soccer fan, I'm talking about just the casual, bring them in, that get sucked into World Cup, Olympics, those, you know, four every 4 year type deals. I don't know what storyline could be there. Unless there's American playing for Argentina.
Right.
Like, that's an interesting storyline. Mm-hmm. I can't envision one.
And no, because I remember the last couple of World Cups and getting into it all of a sudden and watching Team USA in their pool play and rooting. And then once they were out, it's like, it still goes on, but not for me. I just kind of tuned out.
Yeah. So that was a fun conversation we had in the 12 o'clock hour. We talked about the strange situation with Steven Strasburg. He is on the mound for the Washington Nationals right now as that game is underway. It's still 0-0. We'll keep you updated on that. One thing that we really didn't get into, I'd like to spend a couple of minutes on it this hour. John Farrell is out as the Red Sox coach.
Yes.
The Red Sox manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that so – 5 years? I think he's been there 5 years. Won a World Series.
3 division titles, last couple years in the playoffs.
Now, I know that the Red Sox aren't along the lines of the Yankees, by the way, their coach seems to be coaching for his job as well. Some people don't even think he's coaching for his job. Some people think Joe Girardi is out no matter what happens with the Yankees tonight or moving forward. Aren't the Red Sox young? Like, you know, David Ortiz is gone, but they're not in the same rebuilding status that New York is
in.
No,
they're further along than that.
They're a little bit further along. But did they win the division last year?
Mm-hmm. They have 3 division titles in his 5 years in a World Series.
And that warrants you being fired?
Without knowing the internal part, like other stuff, what people think of him in the organization or players, I just see a manager that's been successful. And I don't know that as a decision maker in an organization what I would say unless there's people that are, you know, sometimes you'll see, well, a new general manager was hired. Well, the coach might be in trouble because – usually a new guy brings in a new, you know, their person. In this case, you see an organization that's been successful. They had all the years before that where they couldn't win. Now they've got a couple World Series. He has one of them. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't know when the right time is, but it does feel like it's early to me. Like, well, he could have had more time.
So when is the right time to get
rid of a
coach?
It's a great question. I mean, we've said it about athletes. Like, some organizations kind of lean on the side of getting rid of a guy maybe too early before – instead of too late, but it's almost organization to organization, right? We've talked about the Bengals before. What would Marvin Lewis have to do to lose his job? I just think it's whenever he's done. Pittsburgh, they don't make it a habit of changing coaches. The Kings have made it a habit of changing coaches over the years. So,
and how's that worked out?
Not well.
How's it worked out?
Someone say for the Bengals, has that worked? He's been okay. He hasn't been awful. He hasn't been great. They made the playoffs. They've never won a Super Bowl. But John Farrell has been good.
Yeah. I'm going to take a piece that I got out of the story that came out of, I think it was ESPN.com this morning. This is a direct quote. Despite another first place American League East finish, the Red Sox grew increasingly unpopular this season. Primetime television ratings on New England Sports Network dropped 15% below ratings last year, which was David Ortiz's final year. Within the past few days, ownership came around to the idea that Farrell was partly responsible. He is now the only Red Sox manager to win three American League East crowns and ranks sixth on the club's all-time wins list. Mm. I know people get extremely sensitive when this name comes up, and his name is going to come up a couple of times in this final hour. Have people become obsessed with television ratings because of Donald Trump? Like, are we really blaming a manager for the Red Sox ratings, local television ratings going down?
Seems really silly to me. I wouldn't. Yeah. It's
and
crazy.
This is a team that won, right? And every day you could go on Twitter and you could read ESPN ratings, Jamel Hill, sad. NFL ratings, such and such, sad. Fox Sports, Fox News, CNN. Oh, it's not Fox. Sorry, my mistake. Mm. CNN, sad. And it's all this. It's like, dude, why the hell do you keep talking about ratings? And now I feel like this is like trickling down into other people. Well, look at our ratings. We got to blame somebody. Who are we blaming? We had a conversation about ratings yesterday and how we think it's going to continue to decline across the board, not just for football, not just for the Red Sox or Major League Baseball or the
sitcoms,
NBA.
Everything.
American Idol or whatever silly shows are still around that people watch. They're going to continue to decline because people watch them differently now.
Mm-hmm.
And DVR ratings don't account for binge watching. DVR ratings, I think, only account for the 48 or 72 hours after. I know there are shows that I'll record for the entire season before I go watch them. Now live sports is an entirely different thing. But what we're trying to establish here is trends in ratings and television falling. I have never thought for 2 seconds that a manager or a coach, for that matter, would be the reason for a decline in sports ratings or in a team's ratings for their local television network.
No, and the other thing, besides all the things that we have as far as how we watch television, the cable cutting, the people that are losing different outlets, finding, you know, watching it on Hulu, on Netflix, on different outlets. You know, there was the Kings' first preseason game was not televised.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a YouTube channel of the feed of the board, of the big board.
Yep.
It's watching the game.
Yeah.
It's a way to watch it. There's no credit. You can find the tallies of, you know, how many people were clicked onto the YouTube channel. But if that's a resource for someone that says, well, yeah, I'm not going to have, I don't need the NBA on TNT package because I'll find some way to skirt through. Now, is that one person? No. Is it 10? Is it 1,000? 2 million? I don't know. But those numbers are going to continue, and I think that's going to be across the board in television from here on out.
Not that I engage in this type of behavior, but I have heard that there's a I forgot the name of it. There's some sort of device that you hook up to your TV, similar to like an Apple TV or the Amazon
Fire
thingy,
yeah.
That you can watch.
Fire thingy.
Yeah, that. Isn't that what it's called?
Yes,
Amazon
Fire?
Is that
Fire
what it's called?
Fire thingy. Yeah,
thank
official.
You. Patent it. Fire stick. Thank you. Thingy stick. Whatever. I feel like. What I'm saying is there's a device
another
that you
device.
Can. It like you can access anything that's on the internet. And that's how people. They hook it up to their TV and they pay for the. It's almost like the old school. Remember back like in the cable days where people had the black box?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent
get
of
you
that.
Everything.
Except if someone is broadcasting it on the internet somewhere, whether it's a pay-per-view event or whatever, I know people who have those. I know people who sell them.
Right.
Those are a thing. Those are a real thing.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the fight, right? McGregor and Mayweather. How many millions of people were watching it on Facebook Live or some version of someone else's version of? It's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's dollars taken away from an entity because someone else. Hey, am I going to pay $100? Oh, I can see it for free here. And I think that's the kind of thing that's going to be going on and continue to go on.
Here's a text right here at 441140 if you want to jump in the conversation. That's the text line, 916-339-1140 or 1-800-920-1140. That's the phone lines. A couple of texts here to bring to your attention, at least on this particular topic. Maybe the Red Sox are getting ready to retool the team and they're starting from the top. Just an idea. Didn't they just do that? Didn't they do that a couple, like 2-3 years ago? Weren't they last in the American League East 3 years ago?
Maybe somewhere in there, but
so they had,
again, they've been successful, though, for the most part.
Right,
they get Sale. They get Price. They're spending the money.
I don't think that that's what this is, yeah. But I'm open to the suggestion. I don't think that's what it is. Text here. It can be any device. It just – oh, people are they're telling me what the device is. Okay, I see.
Yeah. Other teams, though, right, have done this before where you go – we heard this with the Warriors, with Mark Jackson. Good coach. They need someone to get him over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Steve Kerr literally did that. Steve Kerr is readily giving Mark Jackson so much credit for the foundation he built. I think that's even a funny kind of way to label a coach. Oh, he can get us to where we want to, but we need someone else to beat. And it's like, really? What? Is that it, or did you need a few more players?
Well, how you use Marvin Lewis a second ago. Marvin Lewis generally makes the playoffs.
Yeah, wins enough. I mean, he's not.
Just doesn't win the Super Bowl.
Right. I just think, yeah,
so
I
when
don't know.
When do you get rid of a coach? Are you, again, you're the Yankee fan. Correct me if I'm wrong here. I've just been following along this season. Aren't the Yankees at least a year ahead of where we thought they were going to be?
And I wouldn't get rid of Joe Girardi. I wouldn't. I think he had a major blunder in game 2, a major one, but. Okay, guys make errors in a game. Guys had a bad outing. The Severino, the first went a third of an inning. They give him another opportunity. Pitched great in game 3. So, game 4, excuse me. So,
sports is the only place where you make one mistake and you're supposed to be fired immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, no one takes into perspective where, you weren't supposed to be in the playoffs.
Right.
Your rookie exploded and became one of, if not the biggest star in Major League Baseball this year.
Yeah.
You had a lot of things go your way, and I have to believe your manager probably played a small part in it. But perspective is everything, right? We're in the playoffs. You made a mistake. We're going to remember that mistake, particularly if we lose tonight, we being the New York Yankees.
Yeah, and here's another perspective on that. Right now, Vegas, other people have the Kings finishing, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th in the West. Maybe the worst. Whatever, somewhere in that range, 25, maybe 30 wins. If they find a way, somehow get to 8, 7, 6, somehow made the playoffs. Amazing year by Coach Yeager, probably one of the Coach of the Year candidates. And if they lost and flamed out, just had a terrible playoff, would you get rid of him? They overachieved.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's what I feel like the Yankees did.
Yeah,
and
we're
talking about Joe Girardi being out at the end of the year because he's not under contract next year. John Farrell had one more year. I think next year was his final year on his deal, and they just decided we're moving on now.
Yeah, and then the follow up to Farrell would be, I believe Boston will be good next year. So is the new manager the reason? No, I think the team's going to be good. I think they'll be in the contention. They could be one of the World Series favorites. Certainly, American League East favorite. The new manager, part of it, yeah, but I don't know. It's just a funny deal of sports.
Did the Steve Kerr won his first year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lost second, won third. I mean, it's pretty good.
So do you can't get rid of a coach to, I guess, if your job is appealing, right? Like we've used this, I know I've used this example before in conversations that the Kings got rid of Rick Adelman a year too late when they probably should have gotten rid of him perhaps a year too early when there was rumors or vocal opinions that Phil Jackson was involved, was interested in the team. And then you waited to where Phil Jackson was no longer interested in the team, and then you fired him, and then you replaced him with, was it Eric Musselman?
Musselman
who was the one who
replaced
Rick Adelman? How'd that go?
Well, then they've been chasing that, right, since.
Well, we hope that the chasing is over now. But
now
yes, between Eric Musselman and I don't think I can name every coach. I honestly don't think I can. I don't even know who was Theis come after Musselman. I don't think I could do it. I could guess, but I don't think I could do it in order.
I think I have it, but I'm not certain.
Yeah, it's
Kenny Natt's in there.
Yeah, Westfall, right. I could probably get the names that are in there, but in order, I couldn't.
It's too many.
They're like the starting quarterbacks for the Cleveland Browns.
Exactly.
Right? When you're constantly making changes, it's not working out. I had to ask Chris, because Chris is a Red Sox fan, about John Farrell. I just didn't understand this. And when I read the article of them, they're talking about Nesson ratings. It's like, dude,
that's
no
silly.
Freaking way.
That's silly.
A manager of a baseball team?
Then hire a Kardashian.
Yeah,
right? What are we doing?
Can they manage?
The thing with the Red Sox is they own Nesson. That was one of the selling points of buying the team in the 2000s, is that they would own the network. And one of the big things that Red Sox players and the manager had, this is back during Terry Francona, was that they wanted primetime games during those getaway days. Mm-hmm. So like A's, remember, always like Wednesday and Thursday, they're in the afternoon. So you could get out real quick and you don't have that jet lag. Well, almost all of their games are at night because they needed those ratings. And that's
what
they constantly, they've got to think about rating. They're, as a business, they think about ratings more than most teams do.
Yikes.
Well, they're in that bed, right?
Well I that's it.
Yeah.
That's the bed. Yikes.
Okay. Well, find your entertaining manager that gets more eyeballs on the team. I don't know who that is.
You're right. Kanye? Yeah. Kim? Right.
Courtney? Bobby Valentine? Oh.
Wait a minute. Well, maybe not that one.
Wait, they tried that.
Not in a mustache.
Didn't you have it in Tito?
Yeah, and wildly popular.
Right, still is.
Yeah, and he's doing a good job in Cleveland.
Yeah, I get the feeling he can still manage a baseball club.
Go get Joe Maddon. I don't know.
I think Chris has been the MVP of today's show.
No doubt.
He's the MVP of most shows, but today you're the real MVP.
The real
MVP. Well done, Chris, for a lot. I don't think there's ever a right. Is Dusty Baker coaching for his job today?
I don't feel like he should be, but same type of thing. Great manager. Gets
exactly.
Us.
That's
he
what
won
I mean.
More games. He won 97 games. Gotta win the big one. Well, okay. Then just keep one manager a year around every sport.
You knew when. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because only one team walks away with the with the respective championship. I feel like there's a lot to be learned from teams. You know, you mentioned Cincinnati, and that's fine. Obviously, I think the model franchise is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They keep coaches for a very, very long time. You know, DeShone Kizer, we got a great text a few minutes ago when we were talking about the Cleveland Browns starting quarterbacks. Derek Carr, wasn't he 0 for 10? 0 for 11?
Oh, to start?
When he started?
0-10. I think, and then he
gets
the
first
one.
They didn't give up on him.
Mm-hmm.
DeShone Kizer is 0 for 5. Now, maybe you're just acknowledging now, my bad, I completely screwed this up. We shouldn't have taken him, which I think a lot of people were thinking at the time. But you did.
Yeah.
Why not let the kid play? You're going to go with it. Kevin Hogan? Goodness gracious, man. Jerry Jones continues to be the class act of the NFL, and not because of anything that has to do with the national anthem. Apparently he met with, if he didn't meet, he is meeting with his players today. His players met without him. And the national anthem thing, Jason, goes back to what you said yesterday. Guys don't like being told what to do. And I have heard from a number of people, including one of the people who was one of the catalysts behind the national anthem protest, Eric Reed, that they are very much ready to move past this and go into the next phase of awareness of these topics.
Yeah.
And they know how exhausting this conversation is. And I told you this name was going to come up again, so don't tighten up your buttholes and get upset. Like, this is part of the conversation. Donald Trump brought the NFL, you know, he put the NFL on his Twitter account, and that bothered a lot of people. And what's going to screw up the Dallas Cowboys is that he did it again last night. He praised Jerry Jones, and he half-assed praised Roger Goodell for he said that he's demanding that players stand, which isn't the case, by the way. He asked for players to stand during the national anthem, and we know this is going to be a conversation next week during the owners' meetings. Still unclear as to whether this is a collectively bargained thing or not. But I was also thinking this morning, do you realize how specific the wording of this is going to have to be? Because right now it's, you should stand for the national anthem. That's what it says right now. You can't just write, you have to stand for the national anthem. Because I'm a jerk, right? Like, and I would immediately look at that and go, all right, cool. I'll stretch. I'll warm up. I'm standing.
Right.
Or let's see. What's the other one? Oh, okay. You got to stand what's the NBA's term? Stand respectfully and quietly. I think it's something along those lines is the wording of the NBA's one that's been in there forever. Cool. You know what I do? I'd turn around. I'd face the crowd. Mm-hmm. My back to the field. They're going to have to be so specific with the wording of whatever rule they're trying to create, because there are people who are upset that are looking at it like Jerry Jones is trying to appease Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is now gloating about it on social media. And Eric, and like I used Eric Reed's name earlier, and a number of other people who are ready to move past this, but they can't because they're the vengefulness, I guess, or the it's almost spite now, right? For Donald Trump.
Right.
And it's, well, this is how we're going to react, because if we don't do this, it looks like he won, and there is no way in hell we're going to allow it to look like he won. Now, with all this stuff coming out about Jerry Jones, it's worth pointing out also that Eric Reed talked to Jed York.
Right.
And Jed York was like, hey, I'm with you, man. Do whatever you need to do. I'm not going to tell you to do anything.
Yeah, I think his quote was he was not going to tell any of his players that they had to do anything.
Jed York,
one way or the other.
Jed York didn't donate any money to Donald Trump. Yeah. I'm just pointing that out because Jerry did.
Yeah.
And I genuinely believe Jerry Jones is showing out for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He has his seat at the table and he likes having it. And he's going to show out so he can be on the positive side of his Twitter account, not the negative side.
Yeah. But I mean, as much as I think others want it to go away, I think this could hit another boiling point here. Again, back to the telling people what we want you to do or forcing you to do. Well, it never goes over well.
It's like this guy here, 44-11-40. Applause for Trump. Everyone should stand or get out. It's the right way. No, it's not. Forced patriotism isn't the right way.
And again, I know you pointed this out. I actually did notice it the other night. I purposely looked around at Golden 1 Center. And I don't know that I saw anybody sitting, but there were people talking behind me.
You would have if you looked to your right.
Yeah. There were people on their phone. There were people that did have their hat on. There were people that were eating. I mean, there were... we're talking about respect. Those that label this as respect for the flag, that's pretty disrespectful to some, right?
Well, no, because we're picking and choosing.
Well, of course.
That's what we're doing. Yeah. Like
But that's not what the original message was, but now it's been tagged to this. So if we're tagging it to it and people are on the phone or tweeting or taking a picture or a selfie. That's...
Or a Facebook Live. I'm so patriotic. I'm Facebook Live-ing the national anthem. Yeah.
Are you listening? Are you quiet? Are you singing? Are you doing it and you're observing it your own way? Is your own way by talking or eating?
You know what? National Anthem got it right, though. And I am absolutely... You know what other narrative change, which... Oh, we need to get off this. But yeah. I will say this. I don't think National Anthem should be played at sporting events, period. But no one has gotten it more... It feels like... I think Kyle Mattson tweeted this, so I want to make sure I give him credit. The Golden Knights... The Las Vegas hockey team seems to have figured out hockey quicker than any other team has managed to figure out hockey. What they did yesterday was absolutely fantastic.
Yes, it was.
And I don't know that the national anthem was necessarily a part of that, but their acknowledgement for what happened to their city, I thought was tremendous.
Yes,
and
I totally agree.
They did a fantastic job in that, and is well worth out of your way. Well worth going out of your way to see. If for some reason you haven't seen it yet. And that's not even the Jerry Jones story I talk about. This Jerry Jones story far encompasses more of the problems that NFL players have with football and with concussion protocol. We'll explain what that is to you next. Plus, Isaiah Thomas talked to Lee Jenkins of Sports Illustrated. We got the quotes for you coming up here on The Lowdown. It's 2:33, time to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the Golden 1 Center. Great events now through October 15th, including Kings Fan Fest. Get details, goldenonecenter.com/anniversary. Remember that civilized conversation we had yesterday?
Not so much today on the text line?
Not so much. It's weird. It's only a difference of 40 minutes.
Okay.
Strange how that works.
Yeah, that's okay.
147, everybody's calm, chill, happy. 225, everybody mad.
Yeah.
Y'all need some five-hour energy or... Perhaps the audience is different. I'm not sure. And Jerry Jones really hit the national anthem thing. Wasn't even the direction I was going. It was the release of Nolan Carroll. Nolan Carroll, Cowboy fans will know, was probably the biggest free agent signing that the Cowboys made. He was going to help with the secondary defensive back, 3 years, $10 million, $3 million signing bonus, played for the Philadelphia Eagles last year. Second game of the season, against Denver, got a concussion. Missed the next game and had just cleared concussion protocol and was starting practice. So he hasn't played since week two. He was cut. Jordan Lewis is the rookie player who took his job.
Right.
He was also the guy who was guarding
Devontae Adams
mm-hmm. on that final play against Green Bay. He was cut. This is the problem right here with concussion protocol. This is why guys don't want anything to do with concussions.
Right.
You can lose. He hasn't played since week two. I think he led the league in tackles through the first, you know, while he was out there on the field. Released. That's insane to me. It's like Nolan Carroll isn't the name caliber of Alex Smith. You know, when Alex Smith essentially took himself out because
concussion
protocol, didn't get his job back with the San Francisco 49ers. I haven't heard a lot of people point to that and say that's one of the reasons NFL players don't want anything to do with this. Now you got a guy, Nolan Carroll's going to be picked up, assuming there aren't lingering issues, and there very well may be, but assuming there aren't lingering issues, he was cleared to practice. He was practicing within the last week. This is why he's going to get picked up. He's going to sign. He's going to be fine. But this is why guys want nothing to do with concussion protocol, evaluation, spotters. This is why they want absolutely nothing to do with it, is because of stories like that.
Yeah, I know we've changed the narrative, at least what the NFL wants you to know and how they're officiating, targeting, and hits to the head. You know, football players will tell you, I'd rather get hit there than
go
don't hit my knees, because you'll know. I'll know if you tore a ligament, you're out. You hit me in the head, can I fool you that I'm okay? I could probably stay in the game. Maybe if they don't see it or have a clearer view that I might be slightly off, then I could stay in the game. And that's the harsh reality. That's a scary reality, but that's something the players don't want to be a part of.
And Jerry, it's like you couldn't have waited did you really need to clear that rock? Because the perception, the optics of this suck. It's like, oh, you had a guy who just cleared concussion protocol. He was you were really big on him. What week are we in? Five? So you were really big on him 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now you've decided after he only played a game and a half that you're going to cut him?
Done with him. Just gone.
I'm not mad, because if I'm Pagano or Del Rio or McKenzie,
reach out.
If I'm the Oakland Raiders, you want some help for that? You want some help for your secondary? I'd call.
Yeah.
Hell, even the San Francisco 49ers, who, like, their only positive thing I think we talk about on a week-to-week basis is that you see potential in their defense. Hey, welcome into California. It's a little smoky here right now, Nolan, but there's a couple of teams here that'll welcome you.
Yeah.
That guy can play football. He was great for Philadelphia last year. I just hate the optics of it, and I hate that, because concussion, CT, all of that stuff is already it's so sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
It's already so sensitive, and now you got guys coming out of protocol that are being cut. And he's a good player.
Right.
Which makes it that much worse. Another really good player who was – not cut, but he was traded, Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas spoke to Lee Jenkins, who is, I think, the authority of all things NBA. When you want to dig deep into an NBA story, Lee Jenkins of Sports Illustrated is the guy you call. He did that long piece on Dwight Howard. He's LeBron James' main writer. He hooked up with Isaiah Thomas and did a long story on him for the Sports Illustrated that comes out, I think, today. And The flashy quotes that are getting a lot of attention today, Isaiah Thomas tells Lee Jenkins, Boston is going to be all love. I might not ever talk to Danny again. That might not happen. I'll talk to everybody else. But what he did, knowing everything I went through, you don't do that, bro. That's not right. I'm not saying F off. And that's actually what it says. I'm not saying F you. But every team in this situation comes out a year or two later and says, we made a mistake. That's what they'll say. That's what they'll say too. None of it made sense. It still doesn't make any sense. I'm still asking what the hell happened. It's a trade you make in NBA 2K. It's not a trade you make in real life.
I would normally say to most guys, like, all right, I know the sting. It hurts. Mm-hmm. He was loved in Boston, had a good time there, played well, MVP type player. I always would tell someone, hey, transition to the team that wanted you. Cleveland wants you. They want you as a part of their next equation. But Isaiah's different. Isaiah has used that chip on the shoulder his entire career, whether it's maybe he thought he should have gone to a different college than Washington, though it's a good program. He gets drafted last in the second round by the Kings. It's, I've got to impress them just to make the team. Then he makes the team. You know, the whole cycle. We know it, that he had to impress. He always has to impress. He's never really been given anything. And now he's done everything he could for that organization. And he is hurt. His feelings have to be hurt. But for him to say, I'm never going to talk to Danny Ainge, I actually kind of believe it. And he's going to use that as motivation to show Boston, yeah, I'm going to be better than Kyrie. I'm going to be better than you guys. I'm going to win more than you. I know that's how he's going to play. Yeah. That's how he's always done it. So guys sometimes fake that motivation. He never has. It's always, there's always been the chip.
I always wonder what you're told also in those situations. Like, what was he told headed into the off season? I think there is a little bit of discussion today about what were the conversations like after his sister died?
Right.
Because we know what was said publicly. Mm-hmm. Isaiah can do whatever we'll back Isaiah. Isaiah could do whatever he wants. We're here for him just as a person.
Sure.
We're here for him. But you also wonder if there's conversations behind the scenes that sound like, hey, we'll back you. Whatever you want to do, we're totally here for you. But we think it's best if you're – be around us. Be around your team. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I don't know what was said. You're right.
Maybe you're not directly telling someone what to do or what you want them to do, but maybe you're trying to influence their thinking. And, again, I don't know that that happened, but he – for I know – this trade is so different because of the magnitude of what happened. We saw the last time we saw them on the floor. We know, or at least we have learned, that he's played injured long before that series with Cleveland. He had been hurt. That hip had been hurt for a solid, I think, 2 months is what was reported earlier this year. And then, of course, you have the just incredible circumstance of his sister passing away during that series or during the playoffs. And all of that, once you factor all of that in, I'm sure his emotional mindset is totally different than just the average player heading into an offseason.
Yeah, but I would feel differently, too, if it was he was traded from Boston to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
To, a situation that just wasn't going to be good, where he was all they had.
Yep.
He's going to a really good situation. He might go farther. I think he will go farther than his old team. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to be a big part of it when he's back and healthy.
We'll come back and wrap things up here on this Wednesday edition of The Lowdown. Wrapping things up here on this Wednesday edition of The Lowdown. 2:46 right now, time to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the Golden One Center. Great events now through October 15th, including Kings Fan Fest. Get details at goldenonecenter.com/anniversary. No Kings tonight, but you'll have a lot of Kings games to end out the week at the Clippers tomorrow and then at the Golden State Warriors on Friday. Final preseason look at the Sacramento Kings for Coach Yeager.
Let's get through it. 1 week from tonight, it really matters. Houston coming in. Second night of a back-to-back for them. That's kind of a weird start to play. It's like the Spurs did last year. They played the Warriors first, crushed them, then came here to open up the building. But the Rockets open up at Oracle on championship night for them. Mm-hmm. For the Warriors and then here the next night.
It's going to be a lot of eyes on that one.
Yes.
I mean, obviously.
Backcourt play, though, in that game, Harden and Paul and, Curry and Clay.
By the way, Steve Kerr just told the media, this might be the deepest team. This is the deepest team we'll probably ever have.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good luck.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a little bit of Cleveland last night. I think Cleveland's roster is incredibly deep. I think they're better.
I completely agree.
Gosh, are they better? I mean, I think the Warriors are better, though, too. And we really might be on the crash course for those two again.
I absolutely believe that we are, but it's an 82-game season.
Yeah.
It's survival of the fittest to a certain degree.
Like, yeah.
Kevin Durant's injury happens 2 months later.
Right.
It's a
even a different angle. That could have been really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Zaza falling on him, and it was bad, but not – it could have been brutal.
We point that out because we both agree no KD, no win for Golden State in the finals.
I agree.
Potentially.
The Cavs played him last year. Yeah.
I think know people see – what was it, 4-1? Was that the final?
Yeah.
Was it 42-4-1?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm already looking for – Is it wrong to look forward to the playoffs?
I'm going to enjoy the journey, starts. Especially for the Kings. I want to see what that looks like.
No, I agree. Yeah, I am, and I'm kind of sort of being facetious, but not entirely. I'm actually anxious to see Houston. I've changed my tone a little bit on Houston. You were a lot more into them than I was. And then I watched them play a little bit in preseason without Chris Paul, just James Harden. I saw, for some reason, I guess I had it in my head, they lost a few more pieces than they actually did to get Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I think they lost important pieces, particularly Patrick Beverley on the defensive end, and I think was kind of the glue for that whole thing that was going on there. But, I mean, Ryan Anderson's still there. They still have a lot of really good scorers.
Yeah.
And
I think there's a few, I mean, not title contenders, but I think people that rode off the Clippers, they're just different. Front court's good. Lou Williams is on the bench.
And they're intriguing to watch, right? Like, how are they going to – now, okay, this is Blake Griffin's team now. It's the first time Blake Griffin has had a team, I think.
They're going to run it through him a lot. And Gallinari's there and Jordan. And the guy who's fun is the Milos Teodosic, the point guard that's come in that's throwing all these flashy passes.
Hey, you, just get me the ball by the rim.
Exactly.
That's all I need.
He's got guys that can do that and finish.
The Nacho Man, what's happening, man? Thanks for the call.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for taking my call. I know the main topic today is about soccer, but I just feel bad for the U.S. not making it to the World Cup. I disagree with the caller earlier. He said that soccer is kind of slow and it's a back-and-forth sport. You know, all the sports are like that. So if you compare soccer to any other sport, I mean, it's actually faster because there's no timeouts. You know, it's more like a 2-hour sport instead of making it a 3, 4, or 5 hours. And that, I mean, isn't that why?
Yeah, no, you're right, Nacho.
Taking some of the timeouts away now.
Yeah, no, for sure. And thank you so much for the call. We really appreciate it. And actually, I do agree with you in that I didn't agree with the call earlier. I don't think soccer is slow. I think there's a difference between slow and low scoring.
Right.
Soccer's totally low scoring, but it's not slow, at least in my eyes. Now, there are points where soccer drags. There are points where I've watched matches and the ball doesn't cross midfield.
Nobody's in a scoring threat.
And it's like, this is getting really difficult to get into. Like, because with the back and forth, you at least can get into it. And I actually feel like when I'm really invested in a soccer game, I'm like glued to it because things happen. It's similar to hockey. Once the ball crosses the center line in hockey, you start like you really watching hockey and soccer can be exhausting,
right?
Because you get really like into that moment because you think a score might be coming, and most of the time it doesn't.
Yeah,
but you still you get that interest up. You're paying attention. You're locked into what's happening. And so no, I'm with you, Nacho, there in that I don't think it's slow. I just think it's low scoring.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's completely different things.
I think three of the sports that have the most opportunities to be the fewest runs or points or score, you know, is soccer, hockey, and baseball. But I think all three of them, if you're having a 1-0 game in any of those sports, all of them play differently if it's game 6 of a regular season compared to right now it's postseason. Or hockey, if it's third period, it's 0-0. In the playoff, it plays differently. Anytime the puck is anywhere close to a scoring opportunity, you get tense. Soccer, same thing, 0-0 or 1-0, and you know, closing minutes, extra time. Baseball, 8th inning, 9th inning, extra innings in close games, 1-0 or 0-0. It's just much more intense than it would be in just a game, baseball game in May.
Yeah,
whatever.
Right,
but and it's the impact of the game.
Right. Yeah, and You're completely right, and you also know when you're watching those two games, when you're watching soccer or hockey, that one goal that you just that could be the only one you see.
Could be.
So
yeah.
You're holding out, like you know, when you get into those final few minutes, or particularly when soccer, when you get into those the stoppage time, and it's 1-0 or it's 0 or whatever, you're watching everything so closely.
Right.
But, you know, again, to go back to what the original point and everything that we talked about today was with the U.S. men's soccer team being eliminated from World Cup contention, well, like, now what? The World Cup is going to come, and there are definitely people like our producer Chris who are going to be very excited when the World Cup comes around, but I feel like there's going to be a lot more people like you and I who are going to be like, oh, it's on, like, all right. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, okay, do I need something that's happening today for the show? No? All right, then I'll Yeah. I'll pass.
And I'm intrigued by the reactionary part of it, not from fans, but from those that are in the soccer circle of Team USA that can affect the next team that's competing for the World Cup. And that's where we got back to the U.S.'s our narcissistic way in, we're the biggest country, we're the best country, we're going to be the greatest at everything. Well, they're not there. So now what? Do they change philosophy, look to go younger? What they will look to have a – there will be a reaction to the result of yesterday, no doubt. And I think in the soccer circle, what is that? How is it done? How do they execute that? Because, you know, as a country, we don't like to lose. And it's right. Not even losing. They're not even in the tournament.
Well, we're front runners.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I think that's part of the reason that this country hasn't really delved into soccer, right? Because we don't win. I hate this. It drives me nuts. We could be because the women win and have won. But it's almost people look at it like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's cute. Like, it's great. Like, we're excited. But unless the men do it, like, we really don't care. I don't know what the reasoning for that is. But I know the women have been extremely competitive. And I don't feel like it budges soccer. Mm-hmm. Maybe it budges soccer for young girls and for women. And if you go out, you know, I actually do remember walking by a park the day after the women won the World Cup. Oh, there's tons of soccer players out. But I don't know that necessarily had to do with the women world winning the World Cup or just the World Cup being on.
Right.
And people had that oh, soccer, let's go to the park and play soccer. Let's just get a whole bunch of people and go play. But it's because the men don't win, we don't buy in.
Yeah, and maybe it's how we rationalize it. Like I'm saying Americans, we own football. Like we have the NFL, we own football. Yeah. If another country came in and beat the Packers and the Cowboys, our team's regular – like, wait a minute. What are we doing? Wait, no. This is our sport. We're soccer, basketball. We did that clearly.
Yeah.
We'd get to the Olympics. It's like, oh, okay, we got to
call in the big hit.
Let's send our pros.
It changed the way everything was done after that.
We'll show them. Well, that's our sport. It's really national or international now, but I don't know that we've ever felt that way about soccer. It's getting more like it, but we're not all the way there yet.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It was a fun conversation today regarding soccer. It was a really fun show. We thank you a lot of participation today. We can't thank you enough. For that, if you miss any part of today's show, subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes or whatever your favorite podcast platform. Get caught up on everything. We got the Kings and the Clippers tomorrow. We'll preview that. Nate Lundy, our fantasy football expert, will be with us at 2:00. And Jason and I will see you at 12:00.